Here's your KLAM news for this Saturday. Three flood-prone sections of Interstate 29 in southwestern Iowa were raised last year, and while they're still not flood-proof, the Iowa Department of Transportation says that they are ready to weather future flooding. The DOT's Austin Yates says that I-29 and nearby I-680 are typically impacted the same way during a flood.
Right now, with all this work done, I-29 and I-680 will be able to remain open together at the same time. We're not going to have to close one before the other.
The three sections were raised different heights, ranging from 2 inches to 14 inches to more than 2 feet. Yates says that the new asphalt is a big clue. Something has changed, but drivers may not notice the road is higher. He says it's kind of like target practice.
If you're aiming at a target that's 50 feet away and then you raise that target up a foot, your eye isn't going to need to move to see that.
The three sections include northbound I-29 from Honey Creek to Loveland, a stretch of southbound I-29 north of Crescent, and a stretch near Blackbird Marsh. Yates says that flooding would have still closed those parts of I-29 in March, but not in September or June, if those changes had already been in place. A group that insures local governments across Iowa is going to court to try to block the state auditor from reviewing its spending, including travel to out-of-state vacation destinations. The Iowa Communities Assurance Pool, which is owned by cities, counties, and other governments, argues in a legal petition that it is not a governmental subdivision and that state auditor Rob Sand has no authority to examine its finances. Sand's office began reviewing the pool's spending back in October after the Associated Press reported that its directors have routinely held public meetings at vacation resorts in Florida every February and Michigan every August. Iowa Department of Human Services officials say that they are temporarily withholding nearly $44 million in payments for this month to one of the management companies overseeing the state's Medicaid program. Iowa DHS spokesman Matt Hyland says in a statement on Friday that the agency has informed Iowa Total Care of the penalty for several compliance issues. They include unpaid claims, inaccurate claim payments, problems with pricing methods, and pharmacy dispensing fees. Hyland says that the money will be released to the company once those problems are resolved. The withheld amount represents about 26% of the nearly $170 million that would be due to the company. Emergency crews are scrambling to clean up following a train derailment in the eastern Iowa city of LeClaire that sent more than a dozen rail cars and tankers off the tracks in the downtown district. The derailment forced police to shut down a nearby highway and sent a hazardous materials team to the site. The derailment happened around 11 a.m. on Friday along U.S. Highway 67, just a couple of hundred feet from the banks of the Mississippi River. Police closed the highway in both directions and asked people to avoid the area. Scott County Emergency Management Planner Brian Payne says that the derailment involved a Canadian Pacific train and that no injuries were reported. Now, Iowa's first state park was founded 100 years ago, and the Department of Natural Resources plans 100 events throughout 2020 to mark the occasion. The kickoff was held on the New Year's Day with so-called first-day hikes at more than four dozen state parks. Todd Kaufelt, the chief of the DNR's Parks Bureau, says that a record of more than 4,300 people turned out for the January 1st hikes.
With 49 state parks offering a hike, there's hardly a reason to not go. The goal of state parks were to be within an hour of everybody in the state. And a lot of those parks covered that, and the staff there stepped forward. And they said, you know what, come on out and see what it's all about. And people came out.
Attendance was the highest since the annual events began in 2012. And the number of hikers was three times that of last year's turnout, thanks to warmer than normal temperatures. The largest attendance was at Walnut Woods State Park in West Des Moines with more than 400 hikers. Kaufelt says that this year, the year ahead will be filled with an array of different events that are designed to highlight the unique qualities of each park's features.
So if you're at Waubonsie State Park in the southwest part of Iowa, you're going to hike the Lus Hills. If you're at Mines of Spain State Park, you're going to learn about the history, the mines that were there that really are the reason that city is founded on that location. Or you're going to go to Pikes Peak, or you're going to go to Okoboji, the lakes up there.
Cuffett recommends that Iowans visit the website iowadnr.gov to determine how many of the 100 events they'll be able to attend.
There's a calendar for the 100th anniversary, so you can set your schedule around it. There is the banner that you saw at the hikes that you'll be able to see on that page. And you can really time out what you want to do, where you want to go, and what kind of activity that you can take the family with you on and be part of the celebration.
Backbone State Park in Delaware County was Iowa's first state park, founded in 1920, and there are now a total of 68 state parks and 4 state forests, in addition to 20 more county-managed parks that were originally founded as state parks. The Iowa Supreme Court says that names of car owners ticketed by automated speed cameras are not public records. The court considered a lawsuit filed by former Ottumwa Police Sergeant Mark Milligan, who was ticketed in 2016 driving a city-owned car. He filed an open records request for names of car owners caught on camera and ticketed, and those not ticketed. Officials driving government cars aren't often ticketed. The city denied his request, but a judge ordered their release. The city appealed, and now the Supreme Court concluded on Friday that speed camera tickets are city citations, not filed in court, and therefore are not public record. A credit union manager has been accused of stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from a branch that he managed in Ames. Henry Hill is jailed on charges of fraudulent practice and theft. His attorney declined to comment on Friday. Court records say that Hill went to police and told officers that he had stolen an estimated $250,000 from his Greater Iowa Credit Union branch vault over 7 years. An audit found that the vault and some accounts were short nearly $431,000. Television station KCCI reports that Hill told police that he came forward after the credit union brought in a new compliance officer who planned to conduct cash accounts. That is a look at your news here on KLEM.